So, questions sometimes arises like, what should our, like we have these things we call defilements in Buddhism, and defilements, you know, people say is an ugly word. I knew one monk, he said defilements is an ugly word. He said in German we call them clouds in the heart. And so you have this kind of nicer kind of way of looking at it. So, and some people don't like to have the idea that they've got these defilements. And I think perhaps perhaps the problem is that we, in the West, perhaps part of it is that we come from this kind of, we've just kind of emerged from this Catholic Christian kind of thing, and we've been told that we're worms and we're disgusting and that we're horrible in the sight of God and we're going to burn in hell forever. And we just kind of got a bit of relief from that, and then we turn around and we're told the same things again, and so we get a bit stressed by it. And so we can kind of, we want to present Buddhism in a positive way, which is kind of fair enough. But then how do we relate to our defilements? So, you know, you can say things like, well, you know, the problem with lust is just repression. Well, of course, this is Freud's teaching, this is not the Buddha's teaching. Repression itself is a problem, right? But lust is another problem, yeah? And repression is an unskillful way of dealing with a problem. So it self-creates worse problems. Pure or simple lust is not as complicated a problem as repression of lust is. That just makes it more complicated. But the lust itself is still a problem, and you still have to deal with it. And when the Buddha talked about these things, you know, Buddha's language that he used was always very clear, but usually was very cool and very balanced. But in some cases, especially when he was talking of getting rid of unwholesome thoughts, he used very, very strong language, you know. One should crush it, one should get rid of it, one should dispel it, one should drive it into annihilation, anabhavangameti, yeah? You drive it into non-existence. This is a very strong language, yeah? And there are places where the Buddha talks about this, and, you know, you sit there with your tongue pressed against the roof of your mouth, and you're kind of sweating, and you're kind of force out these wrong thoughts.
Like a strong man.
Yeah, like a strong man would crush a weak man with his arms, you know. So that's useful sometimes. I mean, obviously we don't want to sort of, you know, I'm going to go doing around that sitting, you know, beating yourself up all the time is not very useful. But there is a sort of sense in which we recognize that unwholesome thoughts are unwholesome. They're unskillful, they're akusala. And yes, one extreme which we want to avoid is we want to avoid the whole sort of guilt trip of, like, you know, whipping ourselves with our bad thoughts and telling ourselves we're a bad person, okay? So yes, to avoid that we accept, well, these are natural. Bad thoughts are natural. Everybody has them unless they're enlightened. We accept that. Then what do we do about it? We then try to get rid of them. So there has to be those two stages, you know? When it's like you've got weeds in your backyard. You know, first thing you do is you accept there's weeds. You don't stress out because there's weeds. You go and you pluck them out and you get rid of them, yeah? So it is important. You need to maintain that distinction, and it's very important, because otherwise if you have this idea, which is, I think, a very serious fallacy, is that mindfulness can deal with all problems. And this is a very, very bad fallacy. The Buddha never said that. In fact, specifically said, it's not the case. He specifically said to somebody, said that I can get rid of anger by using mindfulness. And the Buddha specifically said, no, you cannot get rid of anger by using mindfulness. This is in the Sagatavagra, Sanyutta Nikaya. You can get rid of anger, you have to use metta. Yeah? Metta is the antidote for anger, not mindfulness. And so the Buddha offered many, many different kinds of ways of dealing with many different problems. And we have to use all of those when they're appropriate, and not just sort of fetishize one particular thing, which may be useful in some contexts, but then we take it and we apply it like a universal medicine, and it just doesn't work.